Hey, all you sexy bookworms. Welcome to this special episode of Shit We've Read After Dark. This episode features spicy, mature content, and the topics discussed may not be suitable for everyone. Please, take care as you listen. Now, light some candles and make yourself comfortable as we get ready to go deep. Deep into this book, that is. We hope this episode is as good for you as it was for us.
Howdy, y'all, and thanks for joining us for this season finale episode of Shit We've Read After Dark. That's right, it's our last book discussion of the season, and what better way to go out than with a bang, or perhaps more, depending on how many sex scenes this book has. So what book are we tackling? Well, on this episode, we're going to be talking about Married to the Alien Cowboy by Ursa Dax. My name is Jason Rico, and I will be guiding you through this discussion because this was my pick. I chose this book. Was it a winner? Was it a dud? We'll find out, and helping me to decide are my co-hosts. She gets new dachshunds at a faster rate than she reads books. Laura Benson, how's it going?
Did you get another one?
Wow, no. Way to call me out. Jeez.
Wow, what a read. Damn.
But look at you, Mr. Showman.
I'm trying. I figured it's the last of the season. I should put some effort into it, you know?
Sure.
It's a great reference to be audio here. Podcast.
Yeah, we'll post a picture. You'll see what I'm wearing. This old thing, I just got out of the closet.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, thanks for joining me. You need to give us a descriptive audio of your outfit in a second.
Okay, we'll do.
Yes.
Well, next up, you hear her voice. She throws more shade than the recent lunar eclipse, Bella Romero. How's it going?
Wow, damn, these are great reads. Honestly, I'm loving the energy you're bringing tonight. So
thanks.
What do you got for our next co-host?
Okay. And currently taking a break from her scheduled emotional breakdown reading the new Hunger Games novel, Emma Skies. How's it going, Emma?
That's 100% true. I will be useless here. I'm dehydrated. Because I've been crying all day. As we sit down to record this, I'm 250 pages into this book, and this is my only break.
And you are unwell.
Back up again, and I'm not okay. Yeah. I'm not good.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you made time to still join us.
Yeah. This is probably good for my mental health.
Yeah, I felt bad at first that we were interrupting, but honestly, you're welcome.
Yeah.
We're forcing you to take a break.
Yeah.
Wow.
Replenish my fluids
with fruit scotto, perhaps.
Actually, no, I'm staying sober tonight because I am going to finish the book after this. So
alcohol is a depressant, so best to avoid.
Yeah. Well, that was the next question. We already got the answer from Emma. She's not drinking anything fun. Is anybody drinking anything intoxicating for this episode by chance? Bella, what you got? You look like you got a sippy cup, maybe.
I have a fun cup for my water.
Water, cool.
Loser. At least mine has for two. In it.
Excuse you. Mine's pink lemonade. It's electrolytes.
Fancy.
Laura, what you got?
I'm sorry. I have nothing fun either. I have my normal big water bottle.
Rico, if you want us to drink, deliver us a beverage.
Oh, you all are disappointments.
I'm so sorry.
It's fine.
This is how I felt for whatever AD episode it was that you guys didn't tell me you weren't drinking and I was the only one drinking. Okay.
Fair enough.
I don't remember which one that was.
In my defense, I think I had bronchitis for that episode. I think it was that one.
You're correct. And normally, Laura, I always have a drink. So that was a correct assumption to have made. And I dropped the ball on that one.
That's right. Yeah. Because you were saying it was dry January.
Yeah. Well, it's not January anymore, so I do have a drink for this one. You know I like to have fun with these drinks. I try to have, like, layers upon layers, right? And so this drink is called the cocktail.
Okay.
Obvious reasons, if you read the book. It represents the love of two characters, so there's only two ingredients in it. When I think of cowboys, like, what liquor comes to mind? For most people, probably whiskey.
Yeah.
So I have whiskey, but I'm not a whiskey drinker. So I have peanut butter whiskey, or perhaps you can call it peanut butter whiskey.
Oh my God.
Get it? The pun?
You really could have just gone with the nut part that's already in there.
I was gonna say, or peen nuts.
Peen and nut, whatever. And then the other ingredient, appropriately so, is cherry juice.
Interesting combo.
Of course.
So peanut butter whiskey, cherry juice.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Is it like PB&J? Is it like a peanut butter and cherry jelly sandwich?
Kinda. It's kinda PB&J reminiscent. Not exactly. It tastes more like a Reese's peanut butter cup that you dip into jelly more than like the sandwich.
Interesting. Okay.
But I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it.
All right.
And yeah.
And what
are
you
wearing? Had one. Oh, what I am wearing. Okay. Well, these are all things I already owned. These are all things I already owned. I love a theme. So I busted out my sci-fi Western shirt. It's gray with like an off-white front. It has spaceships blasting off into space. It's got moons. It has atoms on it. It's very on theme for the book. I'm also wearing a bolo tie with it and a cowboy hat. So
I would like it known that I called this outfit before your camera turned on.
Yep. You were correct. You nailed it 100%.
Emma knew.
Piece by piece.
No, she called it exactly. I mean, there's really only one outfit I could have worn for this book. So I'm not going to paint myself gold and have my hair turquoise. That's doing too much.
And I'm disappointed in you for not doing that. Go further next season, Rico.
I have something to strive for next season, for sure.
There you go.
Okay. As I mentioned, we are going to be talking about Married to the Alien Cowboy by Ursa Dax. It is a sci-fi Western alien romance, which was self-published in July of last year, 2024. These are content warnings from the website, so listen up if these matter to you. This book includes content such as violence, blood, gore, on-page death, murder of a character's mother, backstory, deaths of parents and guardians, backstory, childhood trauma, betrayal, organized crime, weapons, prison/forced labor as punishment/unfair criminal justice systems, and graphic sex scenes with a non-human hero. Which, I will be honest, I was not expecting the majority of these when I picked this book. But we'll get into it. All right, it's the last synopsis of the season. I probably should have done my homework to see who read last, but I did not. I'm just going to randomly pick Bella.
Cool.
No thought. He just knew.
I knew it was going to be me.
It feels a little bit like TSA levels of random selection.
Yeah, it did feel a little profiled, to say the least. All right. I was ready though. I as you called the outfit, I was like, it's probably me. All right. Let's dig in. I'm like, should I do a Western accent? I don't think I can do that seriously right now. So we're just going to read it. All right. A quiet alien cowboy, a human woman on the run, and one very messy marriage of convenience. What could possibly go wrong? In debt and on the run from a crime lord whose nose I may or may not have broken, I take the first ticket off-world that comes my way. It's an all-expenses-paid one-way trip to an isolated ranching outpost. The only catch? I have to marry an alien cowboy. My plan is simple enough. Shack up with my groom, Siler, and convince him to keep me during the first month of our marriage. As long as he doesn't decide to send me packing after the 30-day trial period, I'll be safe. But maybe my plan isn't so great after all. Siler talks more to his animals than he does to me, seems perplexed by every wifely duty I try to perform for him, and goes to offensively great lengths to avoid touching me. Other than his eyes glowing bright white every time he looks at me, I have no idea what's going on in my new husband's head. Meanwhile, he shows me in subtle, wordless ways just how good a man he can be when he thinks that no one's watching. Yep, my plan officially sucks, because now it's not just my life at risk. If Siler sends me away after 30 days, it's my stupid human heart. Welcome to the cowboy colony planet, where men outnumber women 10-1 and cattle outnumber them all.
So it's Wisconsin.
Wow.
It's more like Nebraska.
Oh, okay.
Wisconsin has college towns. Or Wyoming. Like.
Oh, I was thinking Wyoming. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Wrong W state.
Wow. Wow.
That was my bad. That was my bad.
Yeah.
We're in California, so we're really hitting that coastal elite here.
Oh, absolutely.
Not knowing the difference between Midwestern states.
Bish, my grandparents lived in Wyoming. That's why I said Nebraska or Wyoming. Check your facts, Emma Skies. Come on. Get out of here.
Thank you for reading that, Bella. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Okay, let's start off with our first impressions. No spoilers. Emma, I'm going to hear from you first. What'd you think of this book?
It's fine. I thought it was cute. I thought it was nice. I don't really have anything salacious to say. I thought it was a nice time. I thought it was fine. I thought it was really sweet. I like both of the characters. I think the author did a really good job navigating the touchier parts of the plot contrivance that she'd set up and making it not too sex trafficky. I think she did a good job in kind of navigating those waters. I think the characters are both very sweet. I thought that this was nice.
All right. Cool. Laura, what about you?
Same. It was fine. I think it's nice. Like other books that we've read for the show, you know, we've had a lot of strong feelings about certain things. So it's kind of nice to just be like, yeah, it was great. I think anything I would want to talk about would have to be in spoilers.
All right, fair enough. Bella, what you got?
I feel a little gaslit because the thing I thought was going to get mentioned right off the bat was
we got to wait for that.
The lack of sex in this book. So
it's going to come from Rico.
Tell us more.
It's a Rico pick. I expected more sex than plot. And there was a lot of plot, which I was not offended by. I just was shocked that you picked, I mean, not that you knew going into it, like it's always a guess as to how much sex versus plot, but I couldn't help but think, ah, poor Rico, bad cover, an author's name like Ursa Dax, weird premise, aliens and humans. It's going to get freaky as fuck. Like this, we're in for a roller coaster. Like I thought this would be more like Good Deeds kind of level of, I don't know, sex after sex, after, like, I don't know. So I was not offended by anything. It was very sweet, very cute. I did like the characters a lot. I appreciated the slow burn romance just because I think it helped navigate, like Emma said, some of the trickier pieces of the premise that was set up. But yeah, I just was like 80% into the book and we finally got like a true sex scene. And that is all I got for you. I'm curious to know your thoughts, Rico. Take it away.
Yeah. My thoughts are pretty much in line with all of you. I thought this book was fine. It was cute. Was it really offensive? It wasn't anything mind-blowing. It did what it set out to do. There were elements of the book that in other books would have offended me or annoyed me. Like the slow burn. I don't always love a slow burn. But this one, it worked for me. There was something about the contrivance of like this mail order bride. Oh, and miscommunication. I hate a miscommunication trope in a book. But in this one, it made sense.
Yes.
And it didn't really annoy me.
Yeah.
It was sometimes actually kind of cute of just like, oh, these two dummies just can't have a conversation to save their lives. The sex.
It was realistic for the premise. Yeah.
Yeah. And the lack of sex, like you said, I don't know that going into a book. Would I have loved one or two more sex scenes? Sure. But I also kind of expected it to be lighter in sex scenes. I didn't pick it for that, but there is something about it that made it seem like it leaned more into like romance territory than erotica territory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was okay with that going into it. It's like, we'll see. You never know. They could have hit you with 10 sex scenes. But I was kind of surprised. Like, yeah, like you said, we're like 75-80% into the book. And it's like, oh, we're just now getting a full actual sex scene. It wasn't the first sexual scene. It wasn't the first, you know.
Completion.
Yeah, but yeah, yes, thank you. But yeah, it was fine. And there were things about it that surprised me. Like I mentioned, some of those content warnings. I just wasn't expecting in this book. And part of that is because I read the synopsis ages ago when I decided upon it and just forgot about some of it. So I think I'm just with you. We're all just kind of, it was a book and it was cute.
So shall we get into the spoilers then?
Yes, absolutely.
You want to take us away, cowboy?
Absolutely.
I hated that.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. I'm going to apologize for that.
Let me specify, we are getting to spoilers now. So if you've not read this book and you don't want to spoil, turn back now. If you don't care, proceed with caution. Anyhow. So, okay. The synopsis does mention a mob boss. I just forgot about that. And so the fact that there was like a mob boss and they were going to potentially...
Oh, they were going to sex traffic her.
Yes. I was not expecting that. And it was definitely...
Because like they were going to sex traffic her and then she decides to sex traffic herself instead.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. I wrote that down. It was like, how is this better than what they were going to do? Like in theory.
You have to choose it.
Sure. But in theory, what they were going to force you to do was until you worked off your debt. This is like a binding contract. Like you're in it for life in theory.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This was my thought. This is how I thought it through.
All right.
So the sex trafficking was until she paid off her debt. However, her current life situation was not sustainable to her not getting back into debt somehow.
Yeah.
Like she already was having income stream issues, was renting. So like her rent could go up at any point. Who knows if the mob boss owned that apartment or whatever, right? So to me, she was willing to do this kind of sex work. Because it was leading her to a life of stability, and it was one partner that she was basically like, she could still have walked away at any point. They made that really clear. And I think that was like...
No, she didn't know that going into it.
Yeah.
I
had the same thing the day that I was like, she didn't know that. Like, once you get into
it. True. Once you get into it. But like, if you're running from death and prostitution, sex work, possibly rape, I would be like, maybe I'll go choose the thing that's like you'll get married. Like, I don't know. Seems a little bit less seedy, underbelly, coercive.
And it seemed like it was through like a quote unquote legitimate organization.
Yeah.
Yeah, like through the government. So like how bad could that be compared to seedy mob boss, undisclosed sexual things are about to happen? ? Like she wasn't exactly sure. So my thing was like, I think she was like willing to trade stability, clothes, money, blah, 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 a ticket off planet, like away from this sort of life. Like she kind of alludes to it later on. Like, I think she was looking for something just really different. And what that was being offered by the mob boss wasn't, I don't know. It made a lot of sense to me.
Okay.
Listen, it was a fun time. So I went, yeah, sure.
Well,
it's a little crazy. But sure.
I mean, they gave her a chance to not go. Like, she could have backed out at any point. So the more that she learned while she was waiting to leave, she could have left.
Yeah.
Or backed out of it.
Yeah.
And then by the time she gets there, they're like, you have 30 days. If you don't want to do this, you can leave. So, like, she was given multiple opportunities to decide if she wanted to continue or not.
Yeah, I think once you get into that plot contrivance, the author sets it up in such a deliberate way as to, like, assuage the reader's feelings about that. To, like, don't worry, totally consensual, she has an out, she's not trapped. Like, the author goes out of her way to, like, deliberately do that in a way that works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did appreciate and enjoy the elements of the mob angle. As like just an X factor of the story, because the whole premise of the book, and we already know this going into it, is that they're mail order brides. And so it's like, well, how is that going to be set up? It could potentially be problematic. Like Emma, you mentioned the whole like sex trafficking of it. And so I did kind of enjoy, it's like, oh, here we have this character who's like kind of forced into it as an out, and you know, it's going to come back into play at some point. And so the entire time I was invested, it's like, well, we'll see when it happens. We'll see when the other shoe drops. It's going to. We know that, and I thought it was everything that was introduced panned out exactly how I felt like it should have.
Yeah.
Right. We have the main character Siler. We know from the jump that he's a convicted murderer. Okay, I can see where this is going. If the mob comes into it, he's gonna kill him, and he did, and it was satisfying. It was great. It was get your fucking hands off my wife. And I was like, oh, okay, this is exactly what I love and what I wanted from this book. Honestly, like, this book made me enjoy things in a way I typically don't.
Some yeah, like those, the like going back to the miscommunication yeah. thing, where you're like,
yeah,
this is an enjoyable way to do this.
Yeah.
Rico does have a heart.
I do have a heart.
It's just, it's just only for alien cowboys. And may I remark that our heroine had red hair and a big butt.
Oh, did she really?
That was implied.
I totally missed that.
The cover photo is like, or like auburn yeah. hair, whatever. But like,
yeah. Speaking of hair, do you guys have your phones on you
yes.
nearby? Because I'm gonna put something in the group chat right now.
Okay.
And speaking of hair, because we've got Siler, you know, we've got our big alien guy, and you know, you meet him, and he's this like golden yellow skin and this long blue hair, and yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and send you what that looks like.
Okay.
I'm scared.
Please hold.
Am I wrong?
No.
Immediately.
Oh my god.
Immediately. Wow.
Okay, so Emma,
I did not think about that at it all.
Was the first thing I thought when he said yellow skin and long flowing blue hair.
No, exactly.
For the audio podcast, I have Please, sent yeah. my co-host the picture of Marge Simpson.
Take that, Marge.
Wow.
It. Yeah. I couldn't unthink that. The entire, I was like, why did we do these two colors?
Wow.
What in the murder of the color wheel was that?
The murder in the color wheel.
I'm glad you didn't tell me this ahead of time, because I would have read his lines with the voice of Marge in my head.
Okay. I don't think I made that connection, because I also knew what the cover looked like ahead of time, and so I just kept picturing what was there.
My cover is, I only ever saw it on my Kindle, so it's black and white.
Hmm.
So that was news to me when I read that. And I immediately was like, oh, no.
Because we brought up the cover, I do want to ask, what do we think of the cover? I think, Bella, earlier you alluded, or someone alluded that it sucks. So are we all in agreement that it's not a good cover?
It could be better.
I don't, I'm confused here on the difference in, like,
the style
between the animal and the people.
Mm-hmm.
Why yes. is that happening?
Yeah, I feel like we're not having a strong enough reaction to how bad this cover is.
There's a lot of choices that were made that I don't really understand. That is one of them.
I don't like where his tail is coming out of his yeah. lower back.
Out of, yes,
it's part
out
of his belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be coming out lower where the tailbone would be.
Yeah.
Oh, that is not literally, yellow skin.
Literally.
But he has golden brown skin.
They clarify that later. Kind of like the inconsistency in how his skin was described was kind of weird, because at one point I think it was like golden, and so I read it as yellow, and then later on it's more subdued, like the description is more subdued.
Well, when she sees him, because he looks like not super vibrant, and then she realizes it's because he's covered in all that dust, yeah. and he gets in the shower, and she specifically says yellow gold.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was because he's wet, though.
Gross. And also this hair is, and like there's just a lot happening here. Like her character design doesn't make any sense. The difference in have you seen that meme that's like the drawing of a horse, and like one yes. part of it is like really rendered and then the back end is nothing? That's what this looks like.
Yeah.
I don't remember the description of this animal other than it's compared to a horse.
Yeah.
But it looks like it only has two back legs and yep. no front legs.
Did cut off the front legs here.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Just conveniently hidden behind Siler.
It's just not good.
That's how big he is, guys. He hides the horse's legs.
And I suppose that thing on his belt, I love that we're describing a picture for our audio podcast. I suppose the thing on his belt is the like hook for their tails. And I do got to say, good addition. That was a good, like, to have like the little thing on their belt that they hook their tails on.
I do agree with that.
Good addition.
I hoped you would bring that up, because I was like, you know who'd appreciate that detail? Emma's guys.
I do.
But the placement of the tail on his belt is still wrong.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, someone doesn't know alien anatomy in this show.
Also, his, I guess that's supposed to be his rope, whatever the hell that's called. It's very short. There's only two loops.
Yeah.
There's a lot about this cover that, you know what, I'm just going to close out my tab. I don't want to look at it anymore. It's that's the most offensive part of this book.
Honestly, when I'm reading on my Kindle, the cover just doesn't exist to me. There is no cover. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I'm definitely a person who will be attracted to or away from a book because of the cover. Yeah. And I'm honestly surprised I picked this book in spite of the cover.
I think that's why I was so scared of this book. Because I was like, oh, he's doubling down on this book, and the cover is not convincing me it's going to be good. I didn't know what I was getting into.
That's fair.
I was like, okay, this is either the dirtiest book we've ever read or just the weirdest. And this actually was neither. So, again, inoffensive.
It was very sweet.
We've had like two pretty sweet books back to back. And I think some part of me was like, no, this is going to be worse than ever. Because I just couldn't believe that somehow Rico would pick an actually like romantic book.
Rico is still Rico at the end of the day. And as we all know, sir, you're never beating the tentacle allegations.
Yep.
As soon as it came up, I was like, yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I knew. I knew. I was going to hear it as soon as it came. I was like, please, please spare me. Nope.
What the fuck was that?
I did not see. I was like, what the fuck?
Okay, hold on. What is it going wasn't on? A tentacle, okay? Give me credit where credit. It was not a tentacle. It was a cocktail. Thank you very much, okay?
Uh-huh.
I liked that she had inner dialogue comparing it to a tentacle and like trying to make herself feel better about it. Trying to say that it's not the same.
It not only was it essentially a little tentacle, it was reminiscent of the last book you read, Manhunter, where it was not really nodding, but latching on purposes, the same way that Homegirl had inner tentacles that wouldn't let you leave.
I'm Man-eater? Like, really?
Here we go again. Huh?
Yes.
Yes, Man-eater.
I feel like you're defending yourself a little too much, Rico.
I'm not defending myself. I didn't know. I didn't know. Okay, I didn't expect this to be there.
For anybody listening to the audio podcast that has not read the book, we sound crazy, and that's okay. The first time they have sex, and the first time she actually like sees his dick, and they're about to have sex, he's got this like, first of all, I thought she was trying to describe a knot first, and I was like, okay, I have a frame of reference for this. I know where this is going. No, because there's like something at the base of his cock that then starts moving and like squirming, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? And then it unravels, and there's a smaller secondary tail just for his dick. What was it for?
That is a wild description. A tail for his dick.
Yeah, again,
and he was just like, what? This is normal.
It's like, what is the, why? I have so many questions.
I was confused also because, you know, they have this brief conversation and she's like, do your women have one? And like, he like doesn't really know, but he thinks so. And so while they're having sex, it's like describing it's just like flailing around trying to find something to grab onto, and then somehow grabs onto her clit. And I was like, wait, how? I'm trying to understand how this is working.
Do you think it's supposed to be like Avatar with two of the same species? Are they supposed to like lock in?
I think so. Tails?
Ooh. I don't like that.
But nodding you're okay with.
At least I have a frame of reference for it. At least I understand what's happening mechanically.
Nodding is taken from things that exist in the animal world. Like, nodding exists in nature.
Yeah.
Where do cocktails come into play? Someone honestly had that thought and is like, you know, I'm going to put this into the book.
There's probably a variation of it somewhere.
I don't need to know where. I'm good.
If any listeners know of any animals, let us know so we don't have to look it up.
So we don't have to.
It was just a strange addition because it kind of came out of, it was just something that was like very not even off-putting. It just kind of, like, puts you on your back foot real quick. You're, like, not expecting it. Because it's not anything that you have a frame of reference for previously. There's been no indication up until this point. And you find out at, like, the 80% mark. And you're like, okay, all right, we are doing something new. Okay.
It almost felt like the author was like, okay, we've had aliens before. We've had cowboys before. How could I make this weirder and stand out from the crowd? And we got the cocktail.
But we didn't want to call it a tentacle.
No.
Because that's been done.
I almost feel like that would be too confusing for people. I don't know, Emma. Sorry.
I don't know. I almost feel like that would have been easier to understand because, again, there's a frame of reference for that. The term cocktail was just so off-putting. It was, what the hell? Why did we call it that?
Well, okay, this author clearly cares about being accurate, and it didn't have suckers, so it wasn't a tentacle.
It didn't fit the criteria of a tentacle. I don't think they have to have suckers.
I think, why not? Every tentacle I know of has...
made that up.
I think there are books that we've read that have tentacles without those.
Look, someone out there listening is a cephalopod expert. Please let us know. Do tentacles need to have suckers in order to be considered a tentacle? I'm going to say yes. I could be wrong, but I'm going to say yes.
Wow.
Also, I will say I did appreciate the introduction of the cocktail only because it came in right around the time I was trying to figure out a drink for this episode. I was like, okay, what am I drinking? What am I drinking for this? I already had the peanut butter whiskey. I already figured cherry juice. I'm like, okay, what else can I do? What can I call it? Do I call it the Stampede? Do I call, and then cocktail, oh my, well, that's just too good.
Frost teeth? You didn't go with frost teeth. That was like my favorite
part. Oh, yes, the frost.
Oh, is it a frostbite?
Yeah.
Like the just frantic, like, no, I don't want your udders to fall off. Like, when you were like, oh, miscommunication, I actually didn't hate it in this book.
Yeah.
Prime example of how I did not hate
all of that. Everything in this book made absolute sense.
And it was so funny. Like, okay, yes, if you had never seen boobs before and your only context were cattle and udders and milk, and then you had just... It's just funny. I just thought it was hilarious.
I explain the concept of, like, human breasts, and he's like, oh, so they're not from milk. And she's like, oh, well, actually,
well, they are.
Technically.
But they're also for, and you're like, okay, he has no idea what's happening. There's, like, a level of when you're going to do these, like, interspecies romances, the, like, miscommunication over biology can be very funny.
And I thought this was well done. I think we've often talked about, like, how some inexperienced... Actually, I think they've all been, like, inexperienced aliens, have all of a sudden become these, like, connoisseurs of smut, if you will. So it's kind of nice that this was like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know what this thing is, because I've never seen it before. I don't know. It was endearing.
Yeah.
You're talking about the carceral system of this empire. What's going on with that? What's going on with that? I do think that she did a really good job of laying it out by the time we got there of, like, why they're there. But I have so many questions about the actual carceral system and, like, how this penal colony works. How large is it? What's the output? What are we having? What's the punishment if they don't output enough? Like, is this meaningless menial labor, or is it actually integral to the economy of this place? I have economic questions.
You know what? I will say that they have something over us, which is that they get their wages. They get their money from their labor.
Mm. They get a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I actually thought that turned out, that was another thing that actually I think turned out pretty well is I spent a good chunk of the first part of the book just being like, are we ever going to explain that? Like, what's happening here? Like, what's the point of this cattle ranching? We eventually did get there. And I think that she does a pretty solid job at, like, everything in here has a purpose and makes sense, even if it's like a 250 page book, right? So you're not going to go super in depth to really anything, and that's fine because you're not really expecting to. But everything that puts in front of you does have a purpose.
Yeah.
So I thought she did really well. And her writing's not bad.
No, I also enjoyed, at first I was, again, nervous because reading Sylar's chapters, I was like, oh no, either this character, like, I just hadn't, like, figured it out yet that Sylar was going to be a very literal kind of person. So reading that, I was nervous initially, and then we get the cherry chapters. I was like, oh, I enjoy like these very different tones and writing styles for each of the characters. So like when you switch POVs, there's a point to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I think often is a fault within many of the books we read of like, so why
they
am
just
I
sound the same?
They just sound the same. I'm just getting it from like a different angle. And there's not a point to it. And this was actually, I think, really well done.
Yeah.
Especially for a book with this bad of a cover. I'm with Rico. I definitely judge a book by its cover. So I was not expecting a lot. And I would love to volunteer to draw the next cover. I'm not good, but I could do better than that. Because I think this book is cute enough to deserve a better cover. I promise this is the last time I'll talk about the cover.
Okay, so speaking of her writing, there were parts of it I really did enjoy, but there were parts of it that did kind of annoy me, mostly in the author's usage of like contemporary slang and phrases mm-hmm. that like really took me out of it, right? Because this does reference old Earth, obviously, mm-hmm. so it's like in the future. I don't know how far in the future, but I'm assuming pretty far in the future.
Very far future, yeah. We've colonized planets at this point.
Yeah, and so it's not like an alternate. It's not an alternate universe thing. It's like our future.
Yeah.
But like there's I highlighted some. There's a reference to a jaw that could cut a bitch, which seems like a very contemporary reference, and all that jazz. Again, she mentions cut a bitch, one of her favorite go-to lines. And there were just these little moments that I'm like, okay, it's kind of taking me out of it. I felt like the author didn't try to put in anything other than just what came to her mind immediately. Mm-hmm. But there's also some really great parts that I really did enjoy. My favorite line was Cherry describing her interaction, her experience with Sylar's penis. And it said, I came face to dick with the biggest phallus I'd ever seen. Face to dick. I love that.
That was so funny. She's genuinely, like, Cherry's inner monologue is very funny.
Oh, yeah.
She does really, like, there's some really great comedic writing in this.
Mm-hmm.
Which is such a like it for the most part it's like lighthearted and funny, and which I think almost makes the mafia stuff hit harder because it is such like a sweet lighthearted character, and it is such a like, you know, it's almost it's almost hitting that grumpy sunshine, but like the grump isn't mm-hmm. really grumpy, he's just quiet. Yeah. And so then the mafia stuff almost hits harder because you're like, stop being mean to them. Stop. She's so nice and funny.
Let's talk about the characters a little bit. Okay, let's break it down. Sylar. We've established that we like both of the characters, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I always think of characters in regards to that meme. Looks like a cinnamon roll, but can kill you. Mm-hmm. Looks like they can kill you, but it's a cinnamon roll, right? And so Sylar was interesting because like he looks like he could kill you, I guess, but is a cinnamon roll, but also can still kill you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's like, I mean, he has that rage in him. Like, he
love a multifaceted man.
Absolutely. Yeah. we have Cherry, who I guess looks like a cinnamon roll, but could kill you or at the very least help you dispose of a body
immediately.
Not have hiding murder on my bingo card for this book.
She said, where's your shovel? Let's go.
The way she had no hesitation was like, whoa, fucking Cherry. All right. I see you for who you are, and I like you.
It was a good moment. It was a good moment for her. Her character development there, or her like not even development. Like that's just kind of always who she was. But like a show of her character and a romantic development between the two of them. Like that was a really great moment for both of them. Yeah. It was so sweet. Oh, I will help you hide a body. It was adorable.
You are emotionally raw, Emma.
Dude, I've been crying all day. I had to wipe off mascara streaks off my face before we did this.
Oh my god.
After the shovel scene, what really finally, like, I mean, I always liked Sylar, but like really pushed him over the edge of like, I really, really, really liked his character was when Warden 10 shows up. And now Cherry and Sylar are in front of a dead body, and Warden 10 knows exactly what's gone on. There's no hiding it. There's no talking a way out of it. Warden 10, fucking great character. He's like, I didn't see shit. You know, it's rough out here. accidents happen. I didn't see anything. And Sylar just was not picking up what Warden was putting down.
Nope, not even a little
just
bit.
Just a fucking dummy. The biggest idiot. And he's like, God, I fucking love you, dummy. Yeah.
Our sweet summer child.
Yes.
He said, oh, I didn't see anything here. He's like, do you need glasses? Can I help you? Do you need some binoculars? He's like, it's right there. You can see it. See it right there. Nothing.
He's like, I really want you to be sure that you saw this.
Well, and I feel like we see that part of him throughout the whole book, because we're constantly being reminded that he's been there since he was a child. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think there's a certain level of innocence to what he knows and understands, because he's had to grow up without society around him. So yeah, he just doesn't like really not, pick up on things.
Yeah, it's not a species thing, because the warden isn't that way. It's just him. It's just him because he's been isolated essentially his entire adolescent and adult life.
Yeah.
Fucking bleak.
Yeah.
And it also seems like self-isolation too. Like he was like, I just like being by myself, like hanging out. Like he does have neighbors and they don't seem like that. Like Fallon didn't seem like that when he met Cherry.
Yeah.
So just our little Sylar.
We've read... I think this is our 16th After Dark episode.
Is it really?
So we've either at least have read 16 of these books. I read a couple others on my own outside of this. So roughly around 20.
Oh, Jason.
Don't worry about it, okay? Don't look at me. So roughly around 20. I've never, ever continued a series. I might with this one.
Because Fallon's next.
Because of Fallon.
Yeah.
Yes, specifically because of Fallon. I want to see what his interactions are like with his bride. Like,
and like as soon as they introduce Darcy and Fallon, you're like, okay, well, it's going to be them. Talk about Grumpy Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're going to be cute. I'll read it with you.
You got it.
Well, I'll read it.
Yeah, we'll all read it. I meant to say earlier, and I wanted to clarify that part of the reason I chose this book was also because I knew it was the final book of the season, and I wanted it to be, I guess, a win of some sort. And not that I thought it would be safe necessarily, but I didn't want to take any big swings with this pick.
Because wasn't our last season finale Sting of Victory?
Yes.
Yes. Every goddamn fucking time, Emma. It's always you who brings it up. Let it die. Let it die.
No, I can't.
It left an impression on Emma, okay?
Honestly, you will be remembered. This book will be forgotten, so I think you have the win there.
I don't feel like it's a win, but okay.
I think that's what you're getting at, right? Is that like our last season finale was rough.
Was so rough.
We wanted to end off on like a nice
yeah, easy, I just wanted, even, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this was good. I feel like this was one of my, like, this is probably in the upper tier of books that we've read for me. Because I think it's really, really sweet. And I think the length works out. It's like 250 pages or 270 pages. I mean, slow burn is relative. Like, a slow burn for the length that it is. You know, it's not a Mariana Zapata slow burn. But the slow burn for the length that it is, I think, worked out really well. I think it's one of those that, like, didn't feel... Because we've read books before where it takes a while to get to the sex scene, and you're like, nothing else is propping this up, so, like, let's go. Like, give me something. But this one was, like, a steady ride all the way through, and it worked really well.
Yeah, I will say, like, even when it was at... I was like, oh, we're at 80% already? Like, it went pretty quickly, I think, because of the way that it was structured and was just well-written. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody else got anything they want to bring up?
No. I mean, when we've got nothing to bitch about, things go faster.
Yeah. That's for damn sure. Yeah.
When we don't have anything. And another thing. This also sucked. Yeah, no. That takes a lot of time.
It was just all very sweet. And it really is, like, at the core, the message is, if he wanted to, he would. You know, I'm just, if he wanted to.
If he wanted to build you a table, he would. If he wanted to sit down and have dinner with you, he would build you a table with his own hands and a chair to sit in.
Exactly. So.
Laura, your husband's built a table before. How does that make you feel?
Very thankful. Yeah, it's behind me.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
okay, that's a coincidence.
He actually built it for us.
that's not even the one I was referencing. He's
what table are you talking about?
The one for the shop.
Oh, you're right.
Wow, what is rich in tables?
He built a gigantic community table for one of my previous businesses.
I didn't know he built that either.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Sylar.
When your man builds you so many tables, you actually can't keep track of them.
I think Sylar would be very competitive.
Apparently.
Same energy. Stoic. Thoughtful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Same character, different font. Yeah.
You are right. Mm-hmm. Dang.
Wow.
I'm going to just do a photo morph of Jace and Mark.
Yeah, right? Jace does think
Jace
he is
also
a farmer,
very tall. So. All the similarities. They're lining. Are you Ursa Dax, Laura?
Oh, God, no. No.
Oh, it's your pen name. Oh, here we go. Revealed here on the podcast. Laura is Ursa Dax.
Masked.
I don't think so.
It would check out Aliens.
So. But thanks.
You do like sci-fi.
We're going to get a cease and desist from Ursa Dax.
Okay, this was a pretty simple book to get through. I think we're pretty much done with the main discussion. It was cute. It was fun. Actually, no, hold on. Before we move on, let's talk about the lack of sex.
Was it a problem though?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a problem. But let's talk about what the
little
we did get.
You did not go out with a bang. Sorry, Rico. The season did not go out with a bang. This was a bump.
I don't think it was a problem. I think it worked for the book.
Yeah, it did.
That said, it would have still been nice to have more.
That's probably what, and because it usually is, that's probably what the, like, get a free extra scene for signing up to my newsletter. It's probably, I'm guessing it's a sex scene. Because I feel like they usually are.
Yeah.
Put it in the book.
So overall, I don't really have a lot of complaints. But if we're going to nitpick.
That's what this is about.
Please.
We only get two actual sex scenes in this book.
Are you counting the accidental release? Okay.
No.
Continue.
No. Actual full sex scenes. There's only two. I feel like I wouldn't necessarily want more sex scenes if maybe the two were a little more interesting.
There was a lot of potential for more.
I feel like obviously the first one, it was a lot of talking because they're discovering each other, which is fine. But it also, like, I think both scenes in themselves just didn't really feel very imaginative in general, which I'm assuming we would get more from an alien smut book.
I think you potentially run into the other problem of it being too off the wall or too adventurous for a virgin.
I was just going to say, you have to keep in mind, he is a virgin.
Yeah, you got
to
balance out, like, we want this to be, like, fun and adventurous alien sex, but also, he's never touched another living female of any species in his life.
I get that, but also we do get, like, he does not have access to a lot of information.
Yeah.
Knowledge, education.
That's true. He doesn't know what he's doing. But also we do get some of his inner dialogue where he is fantasizing about doing things to her.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't actually do any of them. You know?
Yeah. It's only been 30 days. Give us more time.
True. Yeah. Well, true.
We all have fantasies that we don't act upon right away. Like, he's just starting. Give him some time, Laura.
Okay, that felt a little too personal. My bad.
Of a defense.
I think that was why the author gave us the cocktail. Was kind of like, all right, we're getting a sex scene, but what can we do to jazz it up some to make it worth the price of admission of an alien smut novel? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe right. Fallon and Darcy get a little kinkier. A little spicier.
There was
he
a
does
moment.
Seem a little more,
he seems a little more
yeah,
open.
Yeah, there was a moment where I thought.
Yeah.
I thought Fallon might.
I did too. Or like that he was going to watch or something. I was like, ooh. valid.
Something.
Maybe just, that's in one of the future books. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
He just seemed a little partner swap.
Not
who knows? Leaving when the mood was shifting.
Yeah, he's very interested.
No, I want to talk to your wife some more. I was like, oh, Fallon, you dirty boy.
Yeah, bugging them all in there in the bedroom. Yeah. Are you okay?
He's curious for science.
He has really good hearing. Mm-hmm. He knew what was happening.
Yeah.
But he has his own wife coming. Like, he needs to learn ahead of time.
Okay, Rico. You're not Fallon, Rico. It's okay.
Okay. Let's move on. Okay. I think we've kind of talked about everything in the book.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the rating now. This book currently has a 4.16 out of over 3,800 ratings. Give it a second to think about what you'd rate it. Laura, what are you rating it?
I think overall, I think I'd probably give it a 4. I think it was really good. Just considering it overall, it was a great romance. The characters were lovable and it was funny to read. They're very cute. I think overall that the author did a really great job.
Bella?
I agree with Laura completely, but because I'm trying to be accurate for the sake of the podcast, I feel like we often rate books for After Dark, like we do want more smut content. So as an After Dark book, I would say like a solid 3.5, 3.75, maybe split the difference, 3.62 for Rico's system, because I know you love a decimal point. But for me personally, like this was a solid 4-star book. Like I really enjoyed it for me personally. This is like, I like more plot than sex. Like I do like the like personal stuff that gets them to that point. So, but I was disappointed that like, I think if there had been kinkier, more alien sex, or even if just the sex had been earlier, like I would probably have given it like a 5-star for me personally. But for the purpose of the podcast, I would say 3.62.
3.62. You got it.
I said 3.5.
Let me type that out.
3.62. Thank you.
Emma, what about you?
I think I'm at like a 3.75. I feel like I really enjoyed it. It was really good. It loses a little bit for, and I forgot this until just now, the singular mention of mates. And then it gains it back because it doesn't do it. It's literally just one mention. I flipped out a little bit and then we moved on. And I was like, wow, that was a jump scare I didn't need.
Are you talking at the end when Warden was mentioning it?
Warden's like, oh my God, you're mates. And they're like, no, we're not. Just kidding. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. What was that?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I thought that was going to be the out for Sylar, like not going like to the Pinnacle or whatever. You know, like I thought it was like, it's decree that if you find your mate, then you can't be prosecuted or some shit. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? But thankfully, like you said, you just move on. I'm like, okay, cool.
They just moved on, which I'm very happy about. I'm guessing because this is an offshoot of another series that she wrote of the same kind of aliens on, I'm assuming their actual planet, but I don't really know. But that whole series is called Fated Mates of the Sea Sand Warlord. So like the whole series is about fated mates. So in this one, she was like, just an ode to the fact that they exist, but we're not doing that here. And I appreciate that. So 3.75 for me, a solid 3.75.
I did not know that was an offshoot, but it's good to know.
I did not either. I didn't realize she like makes a reference to it at some point in the book. She like makes a reference to something like other stories or other things. And I went, oh,
other characters.
Other characters. And I was like, oh, I bet this is. And I'm just looking at it. And yeah, it is. So how about you, Rico?
I forgot to pop this into my little spreadsheet to figure out my rating. I was doing it right now as you guys were all talking. And this
on your own episode.
I know. This book has the exact same rating as Maneater, which feels right, which came out to 3.71, which I just ran up to 3.75. And that feels about right.
In my world, a 7.1, you would round down to 7, Rico. That's math.
It's 0.4 away from 7.5 and 21 away from half. How does that work?
It's a 3.7.
Oh, 7. I didn't 5. No. I'm keeping it at a quarter system. Keeping it at a quarter system. 5, 75, 100.
You want to be a nerd about it.
That's not good
data. Do not argue the spreadsheet, Bella. Sure. Okay.
I gave you 3.62, and I hope you wrote that down.
I did. It's right here, 3.62. Okay, great. No, I'm giving a 3.75. That feels right. I did enjoy it overall, but I can justify knocking it off a 0.25 for just, I wanted a little bit more. Give me a little bit more sex scene, a little more spice. Yeah, so that feels right to me. So.
Yeah, more tentacles.
Just... Why stop at one dick cocktail? You know, give me two cocktails.
You and the double dick thing. Oh my God. Okay. Wrap it up.
Right, okay. Up. So there we go. We have our ratings. So normally we talk about what's coming up next, but this is our season finale, technically. But we actually do, not After Dark, but we do have a surprise bonus author interview that's coming out next month. It's not After Dark, like I said, but we're going to be talking to Olivia Waite about Murder by Memory, which is out now as of the time we're recording this. It is book one of the Dorothy Gentleman series, a cozy space-born mystery hounded by a no-nonsense formidable auntie of a detective. Because this is all kind of just last minute, we're still kind of figuring out details. I don't exactly know when the episode's going to be out yet, early April for sure, but keep an eye on Instagram for more details. All right, so closing up, thank you so much for listening. Let us know your thoughts on this book on social media. You can find us on social media at Shit We've Read. You can also join our Discord. The link will be in the show notes and on our socials. Before we say goodbye for this season, I want to give some thanks to the amazing people who helped make this season what it was. First up, I want to thank the authors who took the time to join us this season. S.T. Gibson for joining us to discuss her novel Evocation. It was one of my favorite books of last year. I cannot recommend it enough. Definitely check out that book if you haven't yet, and also check out the episode. Thanks to author Al Hess for answering our questions about his novel Key Lime Sky. Unfortunately, due to timing, we couldn't have him on the show, but he was still nice enough to answer some of our questions. That written interview can be found on our website at shitweveread.com. As I already mentioned, Olivia Waite will be joining us next month for a discussion of her novella, Murder by Memory. So check that out early April. Thank you to guest host Aaron Harris for joining us for a discussion of The Psychology of Time Travel by Kate Mascareñas. Thank you to the friend of the pod, Sir Aaron Carter, who was the game master on our two-part TTRPG special. He took the time to create the adventure, and he did a great job. We had so much fun with that. If you haven't listened to the episodes, I highly recommend that you do. There's adventure, sound effects, there's music. I think it's a fun, immersive experience. Definitely different than what we normally do. But if you like the pod, I have a feeling you probably like that too. So give them a listen. I also have to thank Jason LaFrance and Sandra Richardson for their help with that episode as well. Of course, I am obligated by law to thank Laura and Bella, my regular co-hosts, for joining me all season long. Thank you, as always, for joining me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And I can't forget about Emma Skies for joining us for all the After Dark episodes and our holiday special. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, let people know where they can find you.
You can find me everywhere at Emma Skies. And you can pre-order To Bargain With Mortals by R.A. Basu wherever you get books. Which is the first book from my publishing imprint. You can get it now. It's called To Bargain With Mortals by R.A. Basu. You can find all of the information on my socials at Emma Skies. Yay, that's the first time I get to like plug that.
Woo-hoo! Oh, we're so excited. Yeah, we're so excited for you. Definitely pre-order that. It sounds amazing. I haven't read it yet. Gonna read it pretty soon. So do that. And lastly, the biggest thank you goes out to you, the listener. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for joining us. We have a great time doing this, and we're glad that you're here for the ride. So that's it for this season. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you for more After Dark episodes and more book discussions next season. Until then, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, bye. Shit We've Read After Dark is hosted by Laura Benson, Jason Rico, Bella Romero, and Emma Skies, with an introduction by Jessalee Windhouse and editing by Jason Rico.
To join the discussion, find us at Shit We've Read on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
For more information about us or to request transcripts, please visit shitwevered.com.
This podcast is part of the BYLO Network. Visit BYLOnetwork.com for more great geeky podcasts.
And thank you so much for listening.